All right, so you have your Bible. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. I don't know, must have been about a week ago. I was minding my own business, and I was fellowshipping with the Lord in the Word, and he caused me to come across Luke chapter 5, and oh, man, I started reading in Luke chapter 5, and like these verses of Scripture jumped off the pages to me. And I didn't know I'd be speaking tonight, so I didn't know it would be anything for tonight. I thought, you know, I'm not speaking for a couple weeks or whatever. And but man, oh man! And so we began to prepare a message, and just said, "Man, Lord, you got us ready for something, so we're ready to go." And then yesterday we just meditated on the other part of this that we'll go to, and so we're excited to share God's thrilling word tonight from Luke chapter 5. We're going to read verses 4 through 11. Verses 4 through 11. The subject, the title of our message tonight is the attitude of faith. The attitude of faith. Look at somebody, tell them the attitude of faith. Tell somebody, I see an attitude of faith in you. All right, smile real sweet now. Okay, so make sure they see it. All right, we're in Luke chapter 5. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. We're going to verse 4 to 11. You ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. Verse 4 again, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Verse 5, Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." I wonder, have you ever been there where Peter, here the Lord's using Peter's boat, of course, and after he got done speaking to the crowd, he told Peter, he said, "Put out into the deep water. Let down your nets for a catch." And of course, what we just read, Peter said, "Master, we already did that. Already prayed that. Already tried that. Already said that. Already confessed that. Already read those scriptures." He said, "Put out into the deep water and let down your net for a catch." Peter said that. He said, "We worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing." Anybody ever been there? You worked hard, feel like you worked hard all night and didn't catch nothing. And there's nothing more frustrating than when you're working hard and you don't see the fruit of your labor. And these things have spiritual implications, because sometimes you might have been believing or may be believing for something that you haven't seen come to pass. And when you're believing the Lord for something and you're praying hard, I mean, you're praying about it. I mean, you're reading scripture. I mean, you're confessing the word, and yet you don't see what it is you're believing for. That can be frustrating. Yes, yes. Got two amens.
Amen.
And sometimes we all go through things that, if we're honest with each other, it can be, you know, it can just seem like, man, I'm praying, I'm believing. How come that is not happening sooner? Why is that not happening sooner? I'm expecting, I'm believing, that should be happening sooner. How come I'm not seeing it? And if you're not careful, you can let yourself get discouraged. We all sometimes find ourselves in this same position as Peter when he said they were professional fishermen. And that means that they had the right equipment. That means that they knew when to fish. That means that they knew how to fish. And Peter said, "Look, we're professionals at this thing. We know what we're doing. We earn a living doing this. And we have worked hard all night long and we didn't catch a thing. And it seems this time, Jesus, that you're wrong. It would appear that you're wrong on this one. We know you've never missed it before, but this time it seems that you're wrong. It seems we've worked hard all night. We know where the fish are supposed to be, and we just didn't catch a thing. And now you're asking us to go right back out there and drop the net. We've already cleaned these nets. I'm sure he said, Jesus, it took us a long time. How many know the cleanup of nets is a long time? I don't know about how long it takes to clean a net, but you know, my dad had a boat, and whenever we got done coming out in from the Atlantic, it took a long time to clean that boat up. You had to get the salt water off of it. You had to get the salt water off of the trailer. You had to make sure that the lines were clear. If it was cold outside, then you had to make sure you had antifreeze in the water lines through the boat. You had to make sure you got the barnacles off the boat. You had to make sure it was trailer just. There was a lot of, when you got done with the going out boating, hey, the work was, anybody know what I'm talking about? The work was just beginning. It took a long time to get it ready and prepped, you know, for the next time. And so, you know, I remember my dad, you know, his boat, he had a beautiful boat, 29-foot Sea Ray, had two decks but my dad, he was too cheap. He put all this money in his boat. He was too cheap to buy a truck to pull it. So he had an old beat up truck. He had the transmission rebuilt, new wheels, everything. Had an old beat up truck. Must have been from the 60s. Had it rebuilt from the ground up just to pull his boat. But I told him, look like a Sanford and Son truck. I got a truck. My dad, one time, we pulling that boat. You know, we'd go down to Jersey Shore and pull that thing out of the water. And, you know, I told my dad one time, I said, Dad, listen, do you hear that? He said, what? What you hear? I said, it's the music from Sanford and Son. This beat up truck. We used to have so much fun together. But no, you know, Peterson, they washed their nets. They washed the nets. The nets were already washed. And now Jesus come along saying, drop the nets again. And you may have already believed. You may have, sometimes, you know, you can find, you know, you may have been believing for your healing, and it can be frustrating. And maybe things didn't happen like you thought, and you could be frustrated. And then, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you're in prayer, you're reading your Bible, and the Lord start encouraging you to believe again. And then you start reminding him, well, no, Lord, you know, I already believed. I already said all that. I already went through all the confessions. I'm not going through that again. I already went through all the scriptures. Anybody ever felt like that? Okay, I see you. Yeah. No, look. He told Peter, drop the net again. Somebody said, well, how come it didn't happen the way I thought it was supposed to happen? I was believing God for a job, but I didn't get the job the way I thought I was going to get it, somebody said. I was trusting God for a car, but it didn't come the way I thought, somebody said. Now, thank God for the times when we're believing and it happens just the way it's supposed to, just the time. And thank God for that. But I'm talking to somebody tonight where you've gotten discouraged in some area of your life and you've let down your guard a little bit because you already had the nets out. You pulled the nets up, didn't catch nothing. You felt just like Peter. I fished all night, didn't catch a thing. And I ain't about to drop those nets again. And the Lord sent me by here to tell you, drop that net. He said, drop that net. Three things I want to share with you tonight in our time. We're talking about the attitude of faith. That's the title of the message. And listen, there are three characteristics about the attitude of faith I feel the Lord has laid on my heart to share tonight. Number one, the attitude of faith, it is first of all thankful. The attitude of faith is first of all thankful. Let's go to Exodus, if you will. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15. Talking about the attitude of faith tonight. We're sharing three things with you about the attitude of faith. This first point, the attitude of faith is first of all thankful. All right, now I'm going to start at 21 and then read through down to the end, 21 through 27. We're in Exodus 15, 21 through 27. You ready? Are you ready? Okay. Miriam answered, this is right after they crossed the Red Sea, of course. Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. 22. And then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore it was named Marah. And so the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he, meaning God, made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms. And they camped there beside the waters. We're making our first point to you that the attitude of faith is, first of all, thankful. Now, you can imagine this scene after God led. Now, the Bible said that they were talking about numbers of people here. The Bible doesn't tell us the number here. But in other places of scripture here in, don't turn there, but Exodus 12:37, and then over in 38:26 tells us there were 600,000 men. They weren't counting the women and children. So when they marched out of Egypt, actually 38 says there were 630,000 some odd. This gives a more precise number, but Exodus 12 gives a 600,000 number for the men, just rounding up. So 600,000 men, not counting the women. And so historians say when you add the women and children to that number, then they had to be somewhere between 2 and 2.5 million people. Now God delivers them through his mighty power through the Red Sea. And you know they were singing, "Our God, he's an awesome God, he reigns." But they came through that. They were dancing, singing, shouting as they had been, as they should have been. And the thing about it is that the Bible says Moses led them from that point. And they went 3 days, what we read. But they found no water. And that can be frustrating when you serve a God who parted the water. You serve a God who drowned all those Egyptians. All the Egyptian army was drowned in the water. You serve a God who made the water stand up on two heaps, two sides. He's a mighty God. I said he's an awesome God. I said he's a great God. I said nobody can do that but our God. And so they went 3 days, though, without any water. And when you got 2.5 million people and no water, you got a logistical nightmare on your hand. How many know that? I always say, you know, this factually true. You know, your body is 75% water, your brain 85% water. You can live a little while without food, but you can't live very long at all without any water. And here they are in a dry, arid, desert place with no water, 2.5 million people with no water, and it appeared there was no plan to get any water. And the Bible says that people do what sometimes we do if we're not careful. The people did, they began to grumble and complain. And the first thing they did, they grumbled at Moses. And other scriptures tell us that they were already contemplating, we never should have left Egypt. We thought we were glad to be out of slavery. We thought we were glad to be out from under the devil's hand, but maybe we should have stayed. And anytime you go to thinking like that, that's just foolish thinking. I said, amen. I said, that's just foolish thinking. Anytime you go to thinking, well, I was better back in the world. When I was back in the world, before I served the Lord, I was better off. That's just foolish thinking. Ain't no way you were better off back in the world. Jesus has removed from you the burden of sin. I got one amen. I said, Jesus lifted you from the burden of sin. He forgave the debt of sin that you owe. He paid the price. He put his righteousness on you. He put his peace on you. He put his victory on you. I wish I had one amen in here. I said, there's no way you better off before than you are now. Oh, but in Christ, you are victory going someplace to happen. Hallelujah. In Christ, you have the victory. Praise God. Don't matter what it is. I said, it don't matter what you're facing tonight. In Christ, you got the victory. Amen. praise God for all of our redemptive realities, just to be made righteous. Just to be made righteous, glory be to God, and have a righteousness that didn't come from ourselves, but a righteousness that came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because of that righteousness, we can go and stand in the presence of the King without guilt, without shame. We can come boldly to the throne. I wish I had one amen in here. Jesus gave us his righteousness. They went 3 days with no water. And they did what so often happens, human nature, people get on the fleshly side. And they started thinking, well, somebody should have thought this out. God had told Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. God dropped 10 plagues on him. And the people were marching out of Egypt. But they thought God hadn't thought it out. The Bible says that God, he planned out our redemption before the foundation of the world. The Bible said that God, he's counted every hair on your head. I wish I had one amen in here. The Bible said that God, he's counted all the steps you've taken today, but you haven't taken all your steps yet, but God already knows about it. Psalm 56, the Bible said God has put every tear we've cried, God placed those tears in his book. I said he is intimately knowledgeable and acquainted with you. Talking about you. I said talking about you. And so they began to grumble and complain. But let me tell you this, when the attitude of faith does not grumble and complain, the attitude of faith is thankful. These folks, they got it wrong from the jump street. Because God performed a mighty miracle. Then they got out there right after the miracle. 3 days after the miracle, they were complaining and grumbling. And you know what they said? What are we going to drink in this desert? Hot out here. Moses is a lousy leader. He should have given us a game plan with everything written down. We could have seen everything. And Moses, he don't know what he's doing. Who picked him anyway? My cousin Bubba and them would have done a better job leading us out of Egypt. Bubba got the Holy Ghost. Moses. They started grumbling, complaining. Well, how come I got to be in this job anyway? God, why I got to be in this job? And why do I got to be around those people? And why I got to work with her? Why I got to work with him? Grumbling. How come I got to live here? Grumbling. How come I got to drive this kind of car? Smoke coming out the back. I had a car 1 year, the glory cloud followed me everywhere I went. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Look, grumbling. They were grumbling. And when you're grumbling, you're like that old grandpa lying on the couch, and the grandson came and rubbed some Limburger cheese on his top lip. That's a real smelly cheese. And grandpa woke up. He said, stinks in here. Got up and went in the kitchen. He said, stinks in here. Opened the door, went out on the porch. He said, the whole world stinks. It was what was on Grandpa's upper lip. It may be your attitude that stinks. You need to stop that grumbling. You can't have the attitude of faith and be grumbling like that. I know you ain't gonna get no amen when I preach like this, but you can't have the attitude of faith and be grumbling like that. Where are we gonna get water? Where am I gonna get the job? You may have gone 3 days, 3 months, three whatever. You may have gone a period, 3 weeks without a job, whatever it is. But you might be asking the Lord, well, when am I gonna get a job? When is it gonna happen? When am I gonna see the manifestation of that in my body? When are my finances gonna change? You better be careful saying all that. Because the attitude of faith is, first of all, thankful. I said it's thankful. What the people should have been doing is they should have been saying, thank you, Lord. You brought us through. You didn't bring us here to leave us. David said, I was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I wish I had an amen in here. I've never seen their seed begging bread. You didn't bring me here to leave me. You're not going to fail me now. You're an awesome God. If you drowned all those Egyptians, if you brought us across on dry land, you didn't bring us this far to leave us. I know you've got another miracle for me. You a prayer answering God. You always on time. You can do anything but fail. You a doctor that's never lost a case. You a lawyer. I wish somebody would help me in here. They should have been thanking God. You're an awesome God. We know you're going to do it again. It may look bad. It may look like we're going under, but we can't go under. We've got the victory. He that has faith overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Let me tell you this. They should have been thanking God. And they allowed their circumstance to keep them from thanking God, and they got in trouble. And you notice, you know, of course, Moses, God showed him that Moses cried to the Lord. They cried out grumbling and complaining, but Moses cried to the Lord. And when he did, the Lord showed him exactly where the wood was, the tree was, to throw in there. God showed him exactly what to do, because what happened is, to make their situation worse, they grumbled and complained, and then they found water, but the water was bitter and they couldn't drink it. Now, the only thing worse than not having no water is to find an oasis of water that you can't drink. And they grumbled and complained about that. And they should have been saying, thank you, Lord, for sweetening up the water. Thank you, Lord, for touching the water. Amen. I said, I wish I had one amen in here. Amen. And you may have to watch the bitterness that's coming off of your tongue. Because like that bitter water that they drank and couldn't drink, there may be bitterness coming out of you. Your circumstance may have created bitterness. What you've been through may have created bitterness. What somebody did to you may have created bitterness. Oh, but if you'll turn to the Lord, if you'll stop that grumbling and complaining, if you'll get the attitude of faith, hey, he'll sweeten out that bitterness. Glory to God, that bitterness will turn to thankfulness. You'll begin to thank him that he saved you. Thank him. You'll begin to thank him that he delivered you. You'll begin to thank him that he took the devil's hand off of you. You'll begin to thank him for your redemptive realities. You'll begin to thank him that he made you righteous. You'll begin to thank him that he's your healer. You'll begin to thank him that he's your deliverer. You'll begin to thank him that he's your, I wish I had an amen in here. He's a provider. Hey, he's a door opener. He's a need meter. He's a way maker. You'll begin to thank him. Hey, I remember when you did it before. It looked like I was going to go down. It looked like I was going down for my last time, but you came through again. Hey, God, you did it before and you'll do it again. I said, he'll do it again. You'll start to thank him. And Philippians, go with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter, first start, stop down there at verse 5. First, we'll stop at verse 5, run into verse 14. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. I like that. The Bible commands you and I to have the same attitude that Jesus had. Somebody said, that's impossible. Well, no, it isn't. The Bible commands you and I to walk in the same love that he walked in. Somebody said, that's impossible. No, if you're born again, hey, Romans 5:3, look, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. And so what do we have to do? Stir it up. Have you been bitter in your attitude, bitter in the way you're treating people, bitter in your responses, bitter in how you're looking at folk? The whole world stinks to you. You need to go stir up the love of God on the inside of you if you're born again. Said amen. And then verse 14, Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. I like that. Do all things without any grumbling and without any disputing. And so it's so very important that we learn to make sure that we have an attitude of thankfulness. Secondly, let's go real fast now. Expectant. The attitude of faith is expectant. We're going faster now. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. John 6, verses 1 through 14. We're talking about the attitude of faith, and the attitude of faith is expected. It is not just thankful, it's expectant. John 6, I'll paraphrase some of this just because of our time where we're going tonight. The attitude of faith, boy, it's thankful, but the attitude of faith, it is expectant. Now we're in John chapter 6. Praise God. We're talking about three things about the attitude of faith. And John 6, and then verse 14. Well, you know, of course,
Jesus feed, let's go to John 6 verse 1. I'm sorry, John 6 verse 1. It's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 here in John 6 verse 1. And the thing I want you to see here is what Jesus says to Philip. Because Jesus sees a crowd of people, and let's just quote the word now, verse 5. Jesus lifting up his eyes, seeing a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread so that these may eat meat?" See the question there? Verse 6, this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive even a little. So what we just read right there, Jesus already knew what he wanted to do. But he tested Philip. What did he want Philip to have? The attitude of faith. What did he want Philip to do? He wanted Philip to just thank him. I may not know where it's coming from, but I thank you, you've got the answer. I thank you, these people are going to be fed. He asked the question, how are these people going to be fed? And Philip said, look, if we worked a denarius was a common laborer's one day wage, got one denarius for one day's work. So he told me, if you worked 200 days out of the year, we couldn't buy enough food for everybody to even get a little bit. I don't know. Philip was totally in the natural. And sometimes that's where we go. The Lord says, how are you going to make it? We said, well, Lord, if I worked for 6 months, I wouldn't have enough to meet this day. I don't know. Now, you need to see your problem from the spirit and stop looking at your problem from the flesh. I said, I wish I had an amen. I said, the attitude of faith, first of all, it's thankful. But secondly, the attitude of faith is expectant. And the Bible says in this passage, I'll just quote it just because of time. Look, Jesus didn't tell the people. You would expect now if he had been where Philip was and where we are sometimes, Jesus would have said, okay, y'all go on home. And I love in this passage, when you read it later, it'll tell you this. Jesus said, he said to Philip, he said, these people have been with me for 3 days. And he said, look, they may pass out on the way home. He said, some of them have come from very far away. He knew all about the crowd. He knew where they were from. He knew how far they had come. He had all the details. And he said, they'll leave here fine, but some of them will pass out on the way. They'll faint on the way. So we got to feed them. And if he was that concerned about them, let me tell you, he's more concerned about that than you. The Bible says a sparrow can't fall to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing about it. How much more is he concerned about you? I wish I had one amen in here. And so the attitude of faith is expectant. Jesus said, he didn't say send the people home. He said, sit the people down, prepare them to receive. They say this about George Mueller with his orphanages back in yesteryear, that oftentimes he didn't have food to feed the kids. And they said on several occasions, George Mueller told the kids from his orphanage, sit down, get ready to eat, and didn't have anything. And God supernaturally provided food for all those kids after they sat down at the table. Evie Hill, he's gone on to heaven, great, great preacher. From yesteryear, Evie Hill's gone on. But he said that him and his mama, they grew up real poor. They grew up, you know, he said, we grew up shaking peanuts. And he said, we were just dirt poor. Sharecroppers, just dirt poor. And he said, many days, I'm a Baptist, but I know God's a healer. He said, I tell you how. He said, because I had to work. I had to work the farm. And he said, and when I got sick, my mama couldn't take me to the doctor. And he said, I'd hear my mama saying, Lord, you have to heal him. You're his healer. You're his healer. He's got to work tomorrow. And he said, I'd wake up healed. He said, I've always known God's a healer. But he said, oftentimes we would get hungry. We'd have no food in the house. And my mama would call on the Lord and say, Lord, you did it before. I know you're going to do it again. I know you're going to do it again. I know you're going to feed me and my boy. I know you're going to. And he said, we would go to bed hungry and wake up. He said, several times people put groceries on the porch. Didn't even know. He said, my mama called the Lord her midnight rider because somebody would come at midnight and drop the groceries off on the porch. Said the Lord, his midnight rider. But she was expecting, even though they were hungry, she was expecting. She just knew. She had an attitude of expectation. God is going to do this thing. God is not going to let me fail. God is not going to let me drown. God is not going to let me go under. God is not going to let me do that. God is going to see me through. Amen. And so the attitude of faith is thankful, but the attitude of faith is expectant. Even in Mark 6, Jesus couldn't do everything he wanted to do in his own hometown because they got offended at him. And the Bible says he could there do no mighty work. Mark 6, 5, he could there do no mighty work. He was amazed at their unbelief. He was amazed. And so he wanted them to expect. He wanted them to expect to receive. And so, but the people didn't expect, and in his hometown, he couldn't do. He said he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them, but that was all he could do. So the attitude of faith is thankful. The attitude of faith is expectant. Finally, and real quickly, the attitude of faith is obedient. It's obedient. Go back to Luke chapter 5 one more time. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 11 again. The attitude of faith is obedient. It's thankful. It's expectant. It's obedient. An attitude of faith will obey. Back there one more time, verse 5, Luke 5, 5. Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we worked hard all night, caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." And when they did, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish. Their nets began to break, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." The attitude of faith, it is thankful. Let me tell you this. The attitude of faith, it is expectant. The attitude of faith is obedient. Peter said, "We worked hard all night, didn't catch a thing. Prayed before, didn't see a man. But he said, "Know what? At your word, I'm going to obey your word. And if you're telling me to drop the net, I'm going to drop the net. It doesn't matter that I fished all night long. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that we didn't catch anything. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that I already cleaned the net. Doesn't matter. Your word, you told me to drop the net, and that's all that matters to me. And I'm going to drop the net. You're the Lord. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey you." The attitude of faith is obedient. I'm going to drop the net. And they got such a great quantity of fish, they could not haul it all in. Jesus knew exactly where the fish were. And if you have the attitude of faith, he's a revealer to you. He will show you stuff that you don't know. He will show you just the clue that you need when you have the attitude of faith. Now, if you grumble and complain, he's going to love you all day and all night. He couldn't love you anymore. And you might get away with it if you're a baby Christian, if you just got born again. You understand what I'm saying? But if you've been born again a little while, you ain't going to get away with that. I said, I wish I had one amen. I'm trying to close this message. Y'all slowing me down. That slow amen is slowing down the preacher. Don't blame me. It's obedient. And so he dropped the net. They got such a great quantity of fish. Jesus knew where the fish were. He knows where your job is. He knows the car you need. He knows exactly where it's at. He knows exactly what lot it's on. That money you need, he knows exactly where it's at. Look, everything you need, whatever it is you can say, he's got it. He already knows exactly where it's at. He told me, "Hey, drop that net." When we read in Exodus 15, when they got to Marah and the bitter water, they had an oasis of water that they could not drink. But when Moses cried out to God, God revealed to Moses, "Take that tree right there, throw that tree in the water and drink up." When Moses got away from the grumbling and complaining people, went to God, asked God about it, God said, "There's your answer right there." When you stop that grumbling and complaining, he starts revealing. He starts unveiling, unfolding, and revealing things to you. I said, I wish I had one amen. It may not be happening the way you want, but if you'll stop that grumbling and complaining, if you will maintain the attitude of faith, be thankful, be expectant, be obedient, God will reveal himself to you. John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father. And we will come to him and disclose or reveal ourselves to him." God's a revealer. I said he's an unveiler. I said the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. He will point out things and show you how to get that job. He'll show you right where it is. He'll show you right where that car is. Show you right where that. He is a way maker. He is a need meter. And I'll close with this. He asked Jeremiah. He said, "Jeremiah, is anything too hard for God?" Don't turn there. Just write it down. Jeremiah 32:27. He said, is anything too hard for God? He asked Abraham, Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for God? You remember when Sarah laughed, he told him you were going to have a child. Sarah laughed. And God said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? He asked Jeremiah, is anything too hard for your God? Oh, but tonight he sent me here to ask you, is anything too hard for your God? That problem that you're facing, he wants me to ask you, is anything too hard for the Lord? Isn't he the God who did it before for you? Isn't he the one who opened the door for you before? Isn't he the one who saw you through before? Isn't he the one who opened the door? Isn't he the one who opened the window? Isn't he the one who provided it for you? Isn't he the one who's been taking care of you? Oh, I wish I had one amen. The rock's gonna cry out for you. Yes, he is. I said he did it before, he'll do it again. But can you thank him? Can you maintain your expectation? Can you obey him when he tells you what to do? I've told often of my friend Jimmy Lott, and I met Jimmy when I was a campus minister down in Atlanta, Georgia. And Jimmy told me how he needed a job. He got to camp. He was a student, one of the students, and got to campus, didn't have a job, and he needed money. And he'd asked the Lord about a job, and he'd been praying, and the Lord told him, go, encourage, he felt led, go over and apply the administration building, get a job on campus. He went over there, and the lady said, well, we don't have any jobs. So there's no jobs available. So he said, filled out an application. She said, thank you, there's no jobs. And so he was praying again about his job, and he said a couple days later, his testimony, said a couple days later, the Lord told him, go back over there. He went back over there, saw the same lady. She said, you were in here the other day. I told you the other day there was no jobs. He said, he went back home. He said, he was praying a few days later. He said, the Lord revealed to him, there's someone dressed in red. Ask that person about your job. He said, he went back over there, bumped into the same lady. She didn't have red on. She said, you back here again? I told you there's no job. I already told you. He said, ma'am, I know. I'm so sorry. He said, is there anybody here dressed in red? He said, what, red, red? What do you want to know if somebody dressed in red for? She said, the supervisor's dressed in red, but he said, could I just talk to her for a minute? He talked to the supervisor, and God touched the supervisor's heart. She said, get that man his job. And Jimmy Lott testified, hey, God opened the door when they said there was no job. God came through and gave me a job. He kept the attitude of faith, and God revealed to him, go talk to the woman in red. I wish I had one amen in here. I said, God, your God, he's a good God. He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. He's a healing God. He's a delivering God. He's a job-finding job. He's a car-finding job. He's a money-producing God. I wish I had one amen in here. He's a good God, and he's good to you. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Father, we've endeavored during our time to share what you've laid on our heart for tonight. And now we leave the word with your people and with your Holy Spirit. Ask you to speak and guide people. Father, cause your word to prosper and prevail in people's lives. Give people what they need tonight. Thank you, Father God, for the power of your word in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you're here tonight and you need something from God, hey, you may have to go and repent first. If you haven't had a thankful heart, if you find yourself grumbling and complaining lately, hey, yours may be to get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I've been grumbling and complaining, asking you about the water, asking you about the job, asking you about the house, asking you about the car, whatever it is. Others here, your problem may be you've lost your expectation. You've stopped expecting the Lord to do it. And you need to get your expector turned back on. Get the switch of faith turned back on. Yeah. And so you may have to tell the Lord, talk to the Lord about that. Tell him you're sorry about that. And somebody here, your problem is obedience. Of the kind that you know you're not living right. You're a Christian, but you know you ain't living right. You're not living for the Lord the way you're supposed to be. And he knows it, and you know it, and you sense his spirit. This is not a preacher talking to you now. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you, and you know it. You know it.
And my question is, are you going to obey him? It's one thing for you to know it. It's another thing for you to obey him. Every head bowed just for a moment. Just give me a moment. Every head bowed. Let me see your hand. You say, I'll admit it. That's me. I need prayer. I want to make it right. Let me see your hand. Ushers, help me in this place. You can sit there and act like it's not true. You know the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. I know he's dealing with you. You know he's dealing with you. The enemy knows he's dealing with you. If you want God to work in your life, you're going to have to obey him. You sense him tugging at your heart right now. Let me see your hand. Where are you at? Show me your hand so I can pray for you. I want to do just what I said. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Say, I know I'm not living the way I'm supposed to. I know I got to straighten some things out. I know it's not right. And I want to get it right. I want to make it right. I know God, the Holy Spirit's dealing with me. I'm going to obey him. I need God to do some things in my life, and no sense of me living like I'm living. I'm going to make a change, going to turn. Let me see your hand. Maybe you're here and you never accepted Christ in your life, and you never ever prayed to receive Christ in your life. Let me see your hand. You might be here and never prayed to receive Jesus. If you're here, let me see your hand. Okay, I see your hand. Thank you. And then you may be here and you might want to be that New Testament experience. You might want that New Testament experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking, initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. And you might want that valid New Testament Bible experience. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? Let me see your hand in this place. Anybody here like that? I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I know I'm asking you to do something bold. I know it. I know I am. But Jesus said this, if you're ashamed of me in this world, in this generation, he said, when I come with my holy angels in the presence of my Father, he said, I'm going to be ashamed of you if you're ashamed of me. But the only way to obey him is to act on what he's telling you. I want you to just boldly, you raised your hand on any of those invitations. You raised your hand on any of those invitations. Look, I'm going to count to three. I want you just to stand up on your feet. You just raised your hand. You just raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand. One, I want you just to obey God. Listen, the attitude of faith is thankful. The attitude of faith is expectant. The attitude of faith is obedient. Two, if you want from God, you mean business with God. You mean business with him. And the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you. Three, come on, stand right up on your feet, just boldly. That's right, that's right. Just boldly stand up on your feet. That's right, just boldly stand. That's right, just boldly stand up on your feet. Now, I just want you to make your way down here. I'm going to do just what I said. I'm going to pray for you. Going to pray for you. God wants to help you. Just make your way down here. Just come right on down here. He's going to help you. Going to do just what I said. Going to pray for you, and then God's going to help you. Praise God. Glory to God. God's going to help you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just stay right here. Praise God. Come on. Come on. God's going to help you. You want God's help. You've been saying, God, help me. God, help me. God's been talking to you. The Holy Ghost has been dealing with you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Come right on down here. That's right. Don't be ashamed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. We're all just one family. The thing about it is, we love you. We love you. We're not. There's nobody condemning you. You're with your family. We love you. You're in a safe place. You're in a safe place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. All right. Okay. All right. All right. No worries. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. Come on. Come on. You're responding to him. You're not responding to a preacher. Praise God. It's not a preacher. It's not a preacher. That's just between you and God. The question is, are you going to obey him? Are you going to leave here disobedient and ashamed of him? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the altar's still open. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody else still here. God loves you. God loves you. Come on. Come on. God's trying to help you. There you go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you all to know we just love you. We just one family in God. I want you to lift one hand to the Lord. That's our way of saying, God, my help comes from you. You're my helper. You're the one helping me. Glory to God. We're going to say a prayer. In the congregation, stand on your feet. Lift your hand to the Lord. Or point your hand toward these folks. And then let's all pray it together. Father, I come to you now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I give you my heart. I give you my life. And Father, where I've not been living right, I repent and I ask you, forgive me, take me back in, make me the person you want me to be. Place your power within me. Thank you for touching me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for strengthening me. Thank you for forgiving me by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Based upon your word, I trust you now and will live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we pray for touching every single one. Father God, thank you for touching my brother. Touch my sister in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You're touching every single one in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for it. Thank you. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him in here. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Come on, come on. Let's praise him. Let's sing a little something, something, anything. God's an awesome God. Come on, our God, he's an awesome God. Come on. From heaven above with wisdom. Come on, help me. Love, our God is an awesome God. Come on, lift your hands and tell him. Our God, you're an awesome God. You reign from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. God, you're an awesome God. Oh, God, you're an awesome God.
He's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our God, he is an awesome God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, listen, God is not done ministering to you. And we're going to send you to a place of prayer. That's Brother Paul over here. He's our prayer minister tonight. We just want you to go. We're going to give you some free material. We're going to pray for you, answer any question that you have. I just want you to go with Brother Paul right now to that place of prayer. Make sure you get everything that you came for. You will remember tonight. God is going to mark tonight on your calendar. And you'll look back on tonight and say, that step of obedience. Amen. So God is with you. Go with Brother Paul now, okay? And then we'll be praying and believing for you. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's encourage him tonight. Praise God. Come on, come on. What if you were in that line? Come on, come on. Let's encourage him. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Don't you love him? Praise God. God loves obedience. Mark these lives. God is touching, moving, blessing. Mark their lives. Praise God. God honors obedience. Hallelujah. Well, thankfulness, glory to God. Hallelujah. Expectation and obedience. Father, thank you for helping us, strengthening and blessing us. Continue to bless our pastors, the Hagen family. Bless Brother Tad there, Oklahoma City, all those with him. And as they travel back, even keep them safe. And bless all those out on missions trips. And Father, we thank you for touching, ministering, and helping. So we give you the glory until we see each other again. Keep us all safe now. We honor you and bless you as we go. If you're here tonight and you are a first-time guest, we had a couple of people who were first-time guests. Let's let you slip out real quick. We got a gift for you. They're not going to keep you at all. They're just going to give you a good gift and bless you in the name of the Lord on your way. Let's thank all of our first-time guests again. Praise God. Those of you watching online, we appreciate you tuning in. God bless all of you for tuning in. And all of you here, we love you. And we'll see you right here Wednesday for Our Power. You are dismissed, and God bless.